Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
Hey, welcome to How's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. Tonight is our monthly real estate news roundup for the stories in Brooklyn from August. And we're going to be tackling a couple of interesting topics in a commercial real estate themed episode. Stay tuned for Bob.
Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
And this is How's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe, and it's our monthly recap episode looking back at the top news stories in real estate from Brooklyn in the month of August. And with us, as always, is our host, Robert Howe.
Well, welcome, everybody, to How's New York. I am your host, Robert Howe, and we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community politics, and any hot topics of the day. Tonight, as Jason mentioned, we are doing our August recap and focusing on what's going on in Brooklyn commercial real estate, which is also very hot, with the residential being on fire. That loads over into the commercial sphere. People are living in Brooklyn that want to work in Brooklyn, places that have maybe been abandoned or underused are now being reutilized, and so that's what we're looking to talk about tonight. And Jason once again has been scouring the internet, looking for all sorts of articles on Brooklyn commercial real estate. And what did you find for us today, Jason?
Well, it was interesting that the theme of the episode tonight is, in fact, commercial real estate. And it just so happened that when I was researching for the show, it just seemed to be that the biggest stories were trending towards commercial real estate, and something that we touch on occasionally on the show. And we've had guests that been commercial real estate experts and brokers, and it's something that we've never really devoted an episode two from our recaps, but that's just the way it shook out. And the first story comes to us from The Real Deal. It's New York Real Estate News website. And the title is The Next Untapped Market, Brooklyn's Upper Floors. And it really speaks to the inventory space for shops, stores, retails, businesses, that are on the second floor of properties, and maybe non-traditionally locations where you wouldn't think would be an ideal space. But now, given the dearth of inventory and the fact that you may be able to find some good deals, this looks to be a new trend.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. A couple weeks ago, I was in downtown Brooklyn, corner of Joralemon and Court, and there are a few retail commercial spaces going on the second floor. You see them, the new municipal building, the old municipal building, which once again has been repurposed and brought from the 18th century into the 20th century. They knocked out a few of the first floors and put retail there, but they also put retail on the second floor, and they have these long escalators, which people really don't mind going on. After all, they go on these escalators when they go to malls. So they're just walking in off the street, getting onto an escalator, and going up to the second floor. And that doesn't seem to bother people any, particularly if there's a bargain on the second floor. I guess even if there wasn't an escalator, they would somehow try to find their way up to the second floor to get that bargain. And this past week I was out in Sheepshead Bay, and I think there was a store not on, street level, but one flight up. I think here you had a walk, actually. And Macy's has an outlet now going in there. I think it might have been Filene's Basement, maybe, right on Knapp Street. That went out, and Macy's is taking over this second story, and it doesn't really seem to faze anybody that they're not on ground level. And then finally, you see Fulton Mall, which has gone through a couple different reincarnations. At one point, it probably was a fairly dangerous spot to be in. Shoplifters galore, muggers galore. And now, with the renaissance of downtown Brooklyn, that place has been knocked down. A brand-new mall is going in there. It remains to be seen if they can overcome the stigma of the prior location. But, after all, it will be a lot of second-story stuff going in. What's your take on second-story shopping?
Well, there's two ways you can look at it, I think, and just gauging from this article, is the second story space as retail and also the second story space as business office. I think there sounds like there are a number of businesses that are looking to convert the second story or second floor into office spaces, particularly in downtown Brooklyn. And then in that regard, it sounds like a venture that might really be worthwhile if, in fact, there are deals to be had. Now, another thing that the article does mention is that these spaces do also come with price tags of $250 to $350 per square foot, and that in numerous cases they are in a pretty much states of disrepair and require a lot of work. So that all seems to have to factor into the business's plans if the cost of moving plus renovating will be worth it to the business.
Although there are a lot of places going in now, and they're just really gutting everything to the wall and leaving it that way, that raw concrete steel industrial look is the look they want to achieve. No longer is it white sheetrock and suspended ceilings. It is now concrete and steel. What is your thought on the ambiance of those places?
I think that it does have a certain style that is not a detraction anymore. I think that it is very much in vogue, and I think that is something that the new techie industry and those folks who work in the industry probably look at that as almost like a very fashion forward style and a real break from what you describe, which might be like a staid type of office ambiance or a retail ambiance. I think in a lot of cases that's probably very much an attractive look, given that, you know, it is a little bit of a departure, and it's new and it's different, and it's, you know, I think that people might expect that from New York and might expect that from Brooklyn.
And just one last thought: eating recently in Hill Country, which was a municipal style office building where now there are eateries all on the main floor. Hill Country took the corner property, did just that, gutted it, and I'm looking around one day during lunchtime, and the place really was, you'd say it was gutted. There were, once they gutted it, there was nothing else that they did to it. No cosmetic touch-ups, no plaster, fill in the holes in the wall, no covered pipes. It was a gut job, and they just put dining room tables, tables in, I should say, and they were open for business, and that's their look, and they're quite successful at it. So yeah, that's, you know, some people are just gutting and not renovating anymore. Pretty interesting.
Yeah, and that it kind of segues nicely into the next story, and it's just touched upon in the Real Deal article. Daily News mentions that downtown Brooklyn is going to be getting a new Macy's, and Macy's is going to be renovating not only the location but a little bit of the area in a big way, and at a $270 million deal, which would give them, it looks to be, the bottom four floors of a new luxury skyscraper, and it just, this is what we've touched on numerous times, numerous recap shows about the upscaling of the retail spaces in downtown Brooklyn and making it a destination for big box brands and premium shopping locations, and this is just further proof that it's happening in a pretty big way from a pretty major brand.
Yeah, Macy's is surviving in downtown Brooklyn in this ever-changing market by, I guess, downsizing a little and yet putting, you know, like many buildings, retail on the lower floors and office buildings or residential on the top floors. It seems like Macy's is going to go with office space above their building and downsize a little. You know, that's a huge, huge space at Macy's. Probably about 10 floors of retail. And I was in there over the last couple of weeks. It has everything except people. And there are floors that you go on that there are just no people on. But the merchandise is stocked on every shelf and beautiful stuff, but certainly there are some floors that just have no people on them. So I don't know if they need, I mean, maybe that will be a trend in retail, that Macy's will be coming a little leaner and meaner without having to offer everything in creation in their stores. I mean, it's a great store. But if you know, there are no people on the floors, you can't stay in business very long.
And it does seem that the makeover, which will probably make everything newer and brighter and cleaner and maybe more tech friendly and comfortable, they talk about more natural light coming in. It just seems like there will definitely be a big bump from the grand reopening, and I'm sure it's going to garner a lot of attention and a lot of traffic just for the sake that it's going to be fresh and clean and new. And just for that sake, it sounds like it's going to do wonders for that area in terms of being a draw, all while making better use probably of the entire space, the entire building, and generating way more revenue than having more floors with less foot traffic.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you know, I'm just seeing here in the article, 1865, that building opened as Abraham and Strauss, and who would have thought, you know, almost 150 years later, that they're undergoing this redevelopment. How they're going to do it and stay open at the same time, I haven't the faintest idea, because it is a pretty crowded street. There are pretty crowded streets around. The side streets are tiny and narrow. The streets on their end of it, well, not much bigger, but maybe, you know, two lanes of traffic. And how they're going to renovate is really beyond me. But I guess they'll figure it out. They say Tishman is a developer. They did Rockefeller Center, Chrysler Building, two gorgeous buildings. And, you know, good for downtown Brooklyn and Fulton Street that, you know, they have these people that will restore that building to its former glory.
Yeah, I did catch that. That's a pretty amazing tidbit there, that building was constructed in 1865. It's unbelievable. Well, that will take us into our next story, given that we're talking about how Brooklyn is looking for new spaces and all kinds of nooks and crannies to put not just residential properties, but also for our stores and businesses. And then the next story comes to us again from The Real Deal, which talks about how the office vacancy rate in downtown Brooklyn is down, it's low, and it's, you know, there's not much turnover, and it's pretty amazing, and maybe that's what's driving businesses to look elsewhere and look on those second stories, because it just there are not a lot of unoccupied spaces.
You know, I'm just wondering if one of the causes of this might be some commercial buildings being turned into residential condos and co-ops, but the bulk of the buildings that I know in downtown Brooklyn, let's talk about that. The telephone building, the old telephone building, has gone condo. A lot of buildings on those little side streets or Fulton Street have gone condo. And I would say the bulk of the office space, Metro Tech, those people probably aren't going anywhere soon. That's all the back street of Wall Street. And then you have the Court Street buildings, which are really old, attempting to, renovate slowly. But how do you renovate, a 40-story, 100-year-old building with people still working in it, I should say. So those people aren't going anywhere either. And, of course, business is expanding. You have a wave of new companies, tech companies coming in, and they're looking for space. And I think we talked on an earlier show that they're looking in a lot of different spaces, a lot of different places that you would never think of for office space, but the traditional office space, like the 16 Court Street, they fill to the rim, and there's not anything being built anymore. So, yes, they are probably running out of space.
Yeah, and just to give people some statistics for comparison, downtown Brooklyn has a commercial office market space of about 17 million square feet of office space that's occupied, so for a vacancy rate of 3.4%. Now, compared to some areas of Manhattan, Midtown Manhattan's vacancy rate is at 8.9, Lower Manhattan's is at 10.3. So Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn's vacancy rate is pretty low by comparison. And then one of the other things that jumped out at me was just the amount of money that is being pumped into the downtown Brooklyn region. It's the almost six and a half billion since 2004, with another four plus billion expected in the future. So in probably 12 or 15 years, we're looking at about over $10 billion being pumped into downtown Brooklyn to enhance it and fix it up to attract all these not only businesses but residential too.
It's hot, like the rest of Brooklyn, and although this is really hot, if they're spending that kind of money, in a relatively small, condensed area. I mean, you're really talking about, you say downtown Brooklyn, but really it's the Joralemon Street and Fulton Street area and around there, and once you get to Atlanta, the other side of Atlantic Avenue, or even close to Atlantic Avenue, there's really nothing going on in terms of new stuff, new buildings. And when you get on the other side of Atlantic, there's your two- and three-story, brownstones, limestones, federal-style buildings. So, it's a relatively condensed area. Nothing's happening in Brooklyn Heights. It's not like they're knocking down 200-year-old homes to put up a condo building. So everything is happening around Court Street, Joralemon, Fulton, maybe a little over towards State Street where there were some open-air parking lots. But it is a pretty concentrated area, and to put that much money in a concentrated area means there's an awful lot of stuff going on.
Yep. And speaking about areas and moving into areas, Real Estate Weekly gives us two separate stories, and we'll kind of talk about them together, of two businesses moving into Brooklyn, one opening a second location in Brooklyn, and the other moving into Brooklyn for the first time with space in Brooklyn for their offices. The first is a whiskey business, Kings County Distillery, which is down on Cook Street, is moving into which already has space at the Brooklyn Navy Yard, and they're going to be moving into down on Cook Street. And the second business is Move Loot, which is a furniture business. They pick up and deliver it. It's a home decor business that is moving into Caton Place in Brooklyn, and that's their first office. So two businesses, we're talking about, Brooklyn attracting people from Manhattan to live here and how they're attracting all these tech companies, but they're also attracting, small businesses too. And then these may not be considered your typical small businesses, but these are the kind of the mid-sized businesses that are coming to Brooklyn.
And something like a distillery, I know we have a few vodka and gin distillers. We have a beer.
Brooklyn Brewer. Yeah, we're quite the alcoholic borough.
Yes, it's 200 years later. It's coming back to where it all began. Brooklyn was a huge place for beer. I don't know about alcohol, but now I guess different manufacturing techniques are allowing, whiskey and alcohol, hard alcohol, to be, just made anywhere, given the right equipment, and made in small batches, and the cachet of the Brooklyn name. So it's a really interesting development. What do you think about drinking Brooklyn whiskey or alcohol?
Well, it just goes to show you that, that Brooklyn is basically home to anything and everything, and whatever you can imagine being homegrown or homemade in Brooklyn, that it basically happening. And it just goes to, it speaks to the growth potential for Brooklyn that Kings County Distillery was only founded in 2009, and just 6 short years later they've got their second, they're opening up another location, and that speaks to just how a new business in that space, in that homemade or artisanal business, really can grow. It always amazes me when I hear, you know, things that are made in Brooklyn, and it makes you wonder just what don't we have. I mean, I don't know, what's the, if you had to pick a business or a product that you had to say was the oddest thing you've ever heard of being manufactured or produced in Brooklyn, what do you think it would be?
Don't know, but it's probably being manufactured there, and we'll find out about it shortly. Maybe one of our listeners will call in and tell us, give us a unique product that no one would ever think of being made in Brooklyn as being made in Brooklyn. But we have all these incubators, and they're doing a lot of different things. Food and wine and beer and alcohol are all, is there anything else I'm missing that we really need in life?
and when you need to, you know, to move, this company Move Loot seems to be another ideal business for a space with so many people and so much real estate transactions happening every day and, you know, all year round. This company seems to be well positioned too in Brooklyn, given the fact that so many people are moving to Brooklyn and within Brooklyn. They seem to be well positioned, and it just sounds like a business and an industry that is able to support these other satellite businesses, such as a high-end decor, home decor business that, you know, moves your furniture and delivers your furniture and works with brands such as West Elm or Restoration Hardware, which are pretty upscale home brands. So they're a company that recognizes that Brooklyn is booming and they need to be represented in that space.
You know, it's really a very clever concept. Move loot, move to buy and sell used furniture. I know in my day job as an estate attorney, my clients pass away, and you know, trying to clear out the house, and there's an awful lot of furniture, and my clients are telling me, but it's good furniture. You know, I want to somehow, have it used for a good purpose, or does anyone want to buy it? And unfortunately, my experience has always been used furniture, unless it's a Louis XIV chair, or nice furniture, even though it's used, is still nice old furniture that nobody wants. But, you know, along with the Brooklyn cachet, and if some well-to-do homeowners decide to do a house makeover and get rid of their expensive, hardly used, expensive furniture, this is probably the place, you know, to go to. And I'm sure some not-so-well-to-do people who couldn't afford those high prices retail would recognize this and be able to pick it up at a substantial discount and have, you know, lovely furniture that would otherwise probably end up in a in some sort of a trash field somewhere.
Well, that brings us to the end of our commercial real estate news recap episode, and this has been another good one for House New York. And Bob, why don't you take us out?
Well, once again, thank you, Jason, for unearthing and digging up all these wonderful stories about hot commercial Brooklyn real estate. And not only is real estate booming, but it seems like business within the borough is also booming with your stories about distilleries and moving companies and furniture companies. All of this bodes well for Brooklyn, as we already know. So this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to Blog Talk Radio for hosting our show. And thank you again, Jason, our executive producer, for finding all of these great stories, very positive stories about Bay Ridge, Freudian slip, Brooklyn. This is How's New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good day. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.